Welcome to Widow Too Soon. This is Michelle Bader Ebersole. I love saying my new last name. And I'm sitting here with my friend and co-host, Mark Massaro. How's it going, Mark?
It's good, Miss Ebersole. I listened back to how I messed it up last episode. I was like, wow, it was just a total, like, you know, like when you just mess up a word or whatever.
I listened like 100 times because I was editing around that, and I was like, Ebersole, Ebersole.
And you couldn't have just cut it out? No, no. Just kidding.
Oh, and it transcribes it, and it had written it as like Ebba, like E-B-A, soul. I'm like,
I have to see that. I have to see that. That's funny.
It was funny.
Where is that on YouTube?
No, just like on Riverside. Not a plug for Riverside, but we are recording on Riverside, and like you can see the whole episode, and you can like delete words and stuff, and so it's on the left-hand side, and I'll just have to take a screenshot and show you that.
I gotcha. No, it's not that big of a deal, but yeah. I gotcha. I thought it was transcribed on YouTube.
It is, too. I wonder what that says, because I don't do that. That's just YouTube does that. So turn on the closed captions on YouTube, which, by the way, if you are not a subscriber on YouTube, you might want to see our wonderful faces. So go to YouTube, look for Widow Too Soon, and you can see us. It's a great experience. It's a new thing that we're doing. Well, not really new, but we're getting more consistent on uploading.
It's newish.
Well, I mean,
or it's new again.
New again. I'm being consistent. So on Sundays, if you want to preview these episodes, go on Sundays and you can see them on YouTube, and then Tuesdays on the podcast. But anyways, I'm going to ask you, how's it going? How's real estate? How's everything?
Well, things are going really well. I actually just missed a call from somebody that, you know, prospective client that I'm hoping to be able to help out. So that will be, exciting, but I'm just trying to figure it out. It's like I've been saying, it's really confusing and overwhelming, but I'm just, you know, I'm learning a little bit each day. And so eventually I'll know what I'm doing. So that's how that's going. The kids are in this, really cool Christian day camp. I think I talked about that in the last episode.
Nice.
So that's been really cool. Last week was like water week for them. So it was like, they did just a bunch of like, you know, summer sports types things and water fights and stuff like that. Let's see. You know, I haven't had a chance to see Tina since the last time I saw her, so that's always a bummer.
Yeah.
It's just so great getting to spend time with her and stuff. But we had a really good time on the phone the other night. We were just like laughing so hard, like in tears, talking about 90s TV shows theme songs. And so yeah, we were just making each other crack up. It was great. So okay, so she actually requested that I sing this one on here, which is embarrassing, but I'm going for it.
Good.
So I want to see if you or anybody else knows what TV show this was.
Okay,
Streaks on the China. Never mattered before, who cares? When you drop kick your jacket, as you came to the door, no one glared. Hold on, wait for it.
I have no clue.
But sometimes things get turned around and no one's spared. Do-do-do-do. All hands look out below. There's a change in the status quo. Gonna need all the help that we can get. It's almost over. According to our new arrival, life is more than mere survival. We just might live the good life yet.
It's a little familiar, but no. And that's the longest one you sing.
I know. You know, she requested it. She's my sweetheart. I had to do it. You know, got to do it for her.
Give me some. Wait, don't tell me it. Give me some clues about the show.
Okay. If I remember right, the guy was a butler.
Punky Brewster?
No. That same era, though.
Okay.
I'll give the audience 5 more seconds, and then I'm going to reveal it.
Okay.
I guess if I'm just going to reveal it, because if anybody knows what it is, they're going to know what it is already.
Mr. Belvedere.
Yes!
What?
Yes!
I got it!
You got it, Mr. Belvedere. I sang that song for her, and she was like hysterically crying. It was laughing, like laugh crying, you know. It was like, and then I was just laughing so hard because she was laughing so, and like neither one of us could breathe. Oh my it was gosh. Just like one of those That's just awesome fun. Conversations, you know. And we were just reminiscing. There was another one I did that just cracked her up, but I'm drawing a blank what it was. Was it the Jeffersons? No, I don't know. Anyways,
funny.
So super exciting information that I had to share. But you know, she's never requested I sing a song, so I had to commit and go for it.
That was great.
I'm trying to be more brave in life.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I'm like.
I think you're making up for the last, like, we haven't, you know, I think because we've had guests, we haven't really had you singing much. So
Rob,
all those episodes.
Rob mentioned after we recorded, he's like, you didn't even sing a song. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, it was your time, you know. But
it doesn't usually fit in with a guest, so.
Yeah, yeah.
What else? Anything else we should know about
your life? Oh, that was great. I just realized how random that was, but I like it.
You know what? They like listening to us because we're authentic and we're real. And it's been a while since we haven't had a guest, so they get to hear us ramble now. That's how it is.
We're just rambling. We're just babbling. So
babbling, that's the word.
Yeah, you know, there's not a whole lot that's been up. Nothing much to report. I did have a difficult – and you and I were talking about this before the episode – it was kind of like a resurrection of PTSD. Mm-hmm. Luke had some teeth removed and they had to put him to sleep. Mm. And I'm already like getting all emotional thinking about it. So they said, okay, Dad, like we're going to take him. And they had just put the IV in his arm to give him the sleeping medication.
Yeah.
And he was like looking, there was all these people around him, all these doctors and nurses, you know what I mean? Like the whole dental staff, there were like six people around him and they were all, everybody's all talking to him. Oh, hey, look over here. Cause they didn't want him to like look at what the dentist was doing.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, Dad, we're going to take you out to the waiting room. And I was like, oh, you don't want me? And they're like, no, you shouldn't, you know, we don't want you to stay for this part or whatever. And I was like, okay. And so, I gave him a kiss and he like was just looking all around, looking at everybody, and he looked so confused and afraid. Aww. And then I like walked out of the room and closed the door, and I could see through the little like 6-inch wide window on the door, like the. Sorry, your microphone's really loud.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. So I just saw through this like sliver of the window. Like his face, and he looked so afraid, and I just lost it. It just took me back, and I was so afraid. And I walked out to the lobby, and I was like totally crying, and I was like, "Oh my gosh!" And then I was like trying to hold it in, but it was like coming out more. And I was just sitting there and just like fixating my eyes up on the ceiling, trying to like stop crying and pull it together, because like they do this all the time. But like I needed to hear from the dental assistant on the way out. I was like, hey, this is like safe, right? And she's like, yes, we do it like all the time. And it was just one of those, like, I felt I needed to say, cause I was embarrassed, you know, but I was like, I'm sorry. I lost my wife to cancer and this stuff just scares me, you know? And she was like, okay, no, I understand. And like, we're going to take really good care of him and he's going to be okay. He's going to be all right. We'll come out and get you as soon as it's done. And then this lady in the lobby was like staring at me cause I had like tears rolling down my face. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like it was weird. Wow. Cause it totally was this like PTSD feeling that came over. I was so afraid. And it was like I just knew that something bad was going to happen. And so anyways,
wow,
I just kind of want to share that. But that's you know, that's one of the things that's been up with me. But you know, I know you had some relatable stuff, but I don't know when you want to talk about that. So what's been up with you?
No, I'll start with my thing that was like that, and then I'll move to happier things. So I had my first PTSD moment. Joel and I were downtown Portland, and there were a lot of homeless downtown Portland. And this guy like walked up to us, kind of like we were just walking on the sidewalk. It was like almost 10 o'clock at night. We're going to go home. We'd have this great night walking around this bookstore and out to eat and just had a great night. And, this guy said, can you please call 911? I don't have a phone. This guy's dying. And we're like, what? And we just keep walking with him. And there's a guy I believe, overdosed on drugs on the side of the road and on the sidewalk. And the guy that was talking to us just starts giving him mouth to mouth. And so Joel calls 911 and he puts it on speaker, and the lady's telling him what to do, like chest compressions, like breathe in 2, 3, you know, all the things. And the guy's doing it, listening to her. And it was just like a weird, surreal moment. Like, I just kind of stood on the sidewalk, like, back a little bit, and there were people starting to kind of crowd around, and I just had to, like, Joel was right in there because he had the phone and was trying to make sure the guy heard it, and it was, it just brought me back. I haven't seen someone die or close to dying. I don't know what happened with this guy, but since Luke, and so it just, like, I just had flashbacks of Luke dying. And then when the ambulance, we actually had to be the ones to like flag them down. We were kind of down. It was kind of like an alley, like off the road. And we flagged down the ambulance and the fire trucks and all that. And then I had all of these moments because I had to call, I don't know, 5 to 10 times, call the ambulance over this series of our marriage, of all the things that Luke went through. And there was just this feeling of emergency and this feeling of dying, like just came over me. And we left, and we don't know what happened. We, you know, they got him Narcan, which I had to look up what that was, but it helps against drugs if you've overdosed. And so hopefully somebody, like, they just went down the street yelling, does anybody have it? And they found one. So hopefully it saved his life. And when we got in the car, Joel's like, let's pray for him. And I'm like bawling, and he doesn't understand what's happening with me. He just says, I'm sure he's going to be okay. And then I just started like hyperventilating, like I couldn't, like, and I just couldn't breathe. He's like not knowing what's going on with me. And it just was like, I just, every memory I ever had of Luke with all of his ambulances coming and all the feeling, and just that feeling of death and emergency, like something's wrong, you gotta call everybody, just came over me. And eventually, and maybe it didn't last that long, 5 to 10 minutes, and then I was able to talk to Joel and explain, I'm having memories of Luke. I'm seeing him die in my head. And I'm seeing every time I called the ambulance, you know, then he was able to just listen to me. And so I shared that actually at my grief group, where I'm the leader, but I share things too. And one of the girls was like, I think that was PTSD. Because I was like, yeah, it wasn't grief like sadness. It was just like this weird feeling. And so that was definitely difficult. But apparently that, you know, that happens to people. So that's one thing that's happened to me, recently, but I'd love to move on to some happier things. Let's see.
Yeah.
One of my really good friends, Patty, who's also a widow, just got married. And so that was super exciting. She has a similar story to me and Joel, her and her now husband. They met when they were 6 in elementary school.
Whoa.
And they had like, yeah, crazy. And they're in their 60s. And wow, they had like crushes on each other. Yeah. And then they met, re-met like 2 or 3 years ago. It was right before me and Joel. They met at a class reunion, re-met. And then they got engaged like right after Joel and I. We have very similar stories. And she's someone who helped me through after Luke died. And so it was just like, as soon as I saw her, I'm like starting to cry, just like knowing her story. And, you know, and plus a lot of my wedding stuff I passed on to her. So it was in her wedding, like just it was really beautiful. She was even wearing the bracelet I wore, and like she had my decorations, and it was just something we love that we have in common. Like we met like years ago at a school that we were both working at. We connected over writing, and we like did writing stuff together. And then, you know, long then I lost my husband, you know, it's just this crazy connection. Anyways, the wedding was amazing and beautiful, and just like, I was just so happy for her. So that's something fun that happened. And
that's cool.
Yeah. And it was just fun having, Joel as my date. He like rushed to be there. He took the boys. So there was like a whitewater rafting trip with our church. So he took his son and my 2 sons, and it was like a 3-hour drive, and they drove on their own so he could be back in time for the wedding. So he was exhausted, but he came anyways and danced with me and all the things. And it was just,
that's awesome.
He made me feel special. And then 2 of my good friends, Stacy and Becca, were also at the wedding, and they both told me separately like how much they loved seeing us together and just how beautiful it is and how much he loves me. And you know,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
He's such a good dude.
He is. Yeah. And I guess one of them was telling the other one, like, you need a guy like Joel. And I was like, I agree. I'm sorry I took him, but there are other ones out there.
And, you know, so and that's cool. So your friend Patty, you said?
Yes.
So how long ago was she widowed?
Oh, it was a long time ago, maybe 15 years.
Okay, okay.
Something. Maybe 10, 15. I don't know, it was way before me.
Okay, I gotcha.
So it had been a while. And she'd had some relationships and things, but nothing like David, her new husband. So
David doesn't have cooties anymore?
I guess not. Yeah. No, it's
a dang, 6 years old. Sorry, I was still like kind of spacing out thinking about that. That's like six really years cool. Old,
and they, I think they're early 60s, mid 60s, something in there. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was just a wonderful, wonderful story.
But I'm sorry, you were talking. I was thinking about that.
I don't know. It was just wonderful. And I gave her like this, she wanted to do the same thing as me. This is my bachelorette party. So I gave her my like cowboy hat that said bride, and we went line dancing, and it was fun. It was like doing the same things we did for my wedding.
And that's so cool.
Enjoyed it. And, but something not great, Joel lost his wedding ring. I'm not very happy.
Oh no. How did he lose it?
Well, we think in the river. So we go to this river like every Sunday. It's part of our tradition now. Like it's like a mile from our house. We found this cute little river. We're usually by ourselves. But it wasn't until Monday we were running and he's like, where's my wedding ring? I'm like, I don't know. And then he's like, it must have been in the river. So we went back yesterday with our masks and everything. We did not find it. I mean, it's a flowing river. But
yeah,
it's not worth a lot of money, but it was just the point. I'm like, we got married in that. But today I reordered it, the exact same ring, so...
Oh, whatever. Okay. That's cool.
It's, you know.
Yeah, I lost mine in the ocean in Mexico.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but then again, Lacey and I got another one, obviously. But right. Yeah, I was like, thank God it wasn't your ring. You know,
like, well, that's what we said too, because mine cost a lot more.
And yeah,
mine has sentimental value of it's the diamonds from the ring that Luke gave me too. So
oh, yeah, like, yeah.
Really tragic to lose my ring.
Yeah. Yep.
So when we were going yesterday, I'm like, I'm taking my ring off. That river's bad luck. I'm leaving my ring here so I do not lose it in the water. So anyways, that's a little side notes. So let's get into our episode. Today we are doing one called Don't Tie Guilt to Your Grief. Let's think about that for a minute. Don't tie guilt to your grief. So I was just talking about how many, you know, I do grief recovery. I work with tons of widows, and the biggest emotion, not just widows, other grief. The biggest emotion I see from them is guilt. And I had it myself. I feel guilt for this. I feel guilt for this. Could I have done something different? Da, da, da. Like, would he have lived if I would have done this? And that's almost every time what they say to me too. Like, oh, could I have done this differently? And so we're going to talk about releasing that and not holding on to that. So what does that title mean to you, Mark? Don't tie grief to your guilt.
Well.
I mean guilt to your grief.
Right. So a couple interesting things. So. And I'm just kind of formulating this now, obviously, but you will feel guilt all on your own.
Yeah.
Also, people will make you feel guilty for things. It's unintentional. It's little things they say or the way they act towards you or the way they're different towards you. But you can feel it, you know, and then that causes you to feel guilt too. So there's lots of – I feel like there's lots of ways surrounding – because first of all, you can feel guilt about their death.
Yeah.
You can feel guilt about things you're doing after their death, things you're not doing after their death, the way you're living your life, even as something as simple as, and we've talked about this before, laughing at something. Remember? Yeah. We've talked about that. Yes. Like, I remember the first time I was at somebody's house. And they invited me over for dinner after Lacey died, and somebody said something funny. And I wanted to laugh, but I felt like I wasn't allowed to. Mm-hmm. I felt like I needed to perform. Mm-hmm. Like I always need to be sad and grieving. And I'm glad that I kind of like realized and got over that, because you first of all, you can't make yourself feel guilty for one.
Yeah.
You can't do that to yourself, because it will haunt you. And we all go through it, but you have to get out of it, you know? Yeah. And
what I've noticed a lot with people that I work with, first of all, it's called grief, right? So they know there's going to be recovery in it, but sometimes they feel guilty. Like, I don't think I should recover, because then I feel like I'm not really loving him. Like, I've heard this from several people. I'm not really loving him if I'm recovering, because I think I need to be feeling this. And I have to explain, no, like... It doesn't, like, people think it's like a math equation, like the amount of time I spend grieving and feeling awful equals the amount I loved my late spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to say that's not true. Like, it is not like this, or it's like one of those old like scales, like you have to have more grief than you have whatever to equal whatever, you know what I'm saying? And yeah. So the biggest thing is realizing like guilt is not a good emotion and it is not from God. Well, I can't say that. There are times when we do feel guilty for things. Like if God's convicting us, that's a completely different thing. This right. is like wishing I would have done things differently, better or more. And right. that's actually what we talk about in grief recovery, different, better or more. And so it's releasing those things and not being tied down. Like I see guilt like this, like a wet blanket put on people. And it's just like holding them down from where they want to go and where they want to be, because it's hard to recover if you're constantly feeling guilty. For example, my big guilt in the very beginning is that all the kids kissed Luke goodbye and I forgot. Like, I remember the grandma saying, kiss your dad goodbye, blah, 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 after he died. And I just totally forgot. And then that day, I was crying all day. Like, I feel so guilty. I didn't kiss him goodbye. My mom's like, I'm sure you kissed him last night. I'm like, yeah, but I didn't kiss his body goodbye, you know. And it was just holding me back and make me feel worse. I was already in a horrible place, you know. So I've learned, obviously, since then to release that. And that didn't even matter, you know, and the guilt of, like, could I have stopped his death? Because he had, like, a pain in his calf. And, like, could I have stopped it? And talking to the doctor, there was nothing I could have done. Releasing the guilt from that, like releasing guilt. So honestly, here's one I've never talked about on air. I had a really unhealthy relationship with a friend, and I spent a lot of time talking to her, tons of time talking to her, when I could have had time talking with Luke. And so I had to that was a big one I felt in the beginning. Like, man, I wasted time on this friendship when I should have been spending on my husband. And releasing the guilt of that. It was just things that weighed me down that were not helpful in my recovery, that were not helpful in my grief journey. And so it's learning to first recognize those things. You have to know what you're feeling and then being able to address them. Like, no, I'm not going to carry this. You know, for us as Christians, we can like actually think of those things as like physically handing them to Jesus and be like, I'm done. Like, I don't want to carry this anymore. Like, I don't want to carry this weight, and giving it to him. And sometimes in the beginning, when you have all those guilt feelings, like constantly doing that, or even just saying out loud, stop, I'm not going there. That's a tool I learned through Heart Change that I just went through with my family, of like, when you start having those negative thoughts, like saying out loud, like, stop, I'm not going there. Like, even if you have to do it out loud. So those are some ways that I've learned to let go of the guilt. What has helped you? Like, first of all, was there anything you felt guilty about around Lacey's death or anything? And how did you release it?
Yeah, there was a lot I felt guilty about. Even though it was insanely difficult, I felt guilt for being frustrated with my life at that point in time. I felt guilt for that. And you know, of course, felt guilt for, I mean, I was going through a lot, but I still felt guilt that I allowed any of what I was feeling to come out, because it should have been all about what Lacey was going through. And so I felt guilt about it, but you know, I'm human and I was going through hell. Even though I wasn't the one with cancer, I was going through hell. And, but I felt guilt about that. I felt guilt because, for, you know, whatever it was, I think it was 14 and a half, 15 months straight, I was by her side, night and day, round the clock, all day, all night, right by her side. Right. And of course, there were moments I stepped away to do this or do that. I was still raising two kids, still had two dogs, still had to make food, blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, I was at her side 90% of the day and night. So, I stepped out from the room, as you know, you probably remember me saying from episode one, to go have a cup of coffee and answer some text messages. And I was gone 15 minutes and came back to the room and she was gone. And like I said, I already knew she was gone, but that's not what I'm talking about. That was all in episode one, if you want to hear that story. But she was gone. I stepped out of the room for 15 minutes and she passed away, and I couldn't help but wondering, like, I mean, I didn't hear anything, so I doubt it. And I know, you know, the state she was in, but like, I just couldn't help but notice, help but wonder, like, did she wake up and look around for me before, right before she died? Or did she like, you know, reach out for me or call for me or whatever. I don't know, you know, so I felt guilt about not being in there when she passed. Or, you know, you hear all these stories about people, when people watch somebody die, you can see this like huge smile come on their face, like we've heard,
yeah,
or something like that. And I'm like, did I miss something like that? Like, gosh, why did I have to get that cup of coffee right then? Like, out of all the time. And at that time, thank God, my kids weren't even at my house.
Right.
So I literally could have waited 15, 20 more minutes. Like I just chose to leave the room at that time. So I felt guilt about that. Of course there was, you know, guilt about being interested in dating again, you know, all that stuff. Right. But, so I wrote this, Facebook post, and I think you actually commented, I know you saw it,
yeah.
But, I just want to read this real quick. I'm writing this out of gratitude, but need to convey how I got here. Seasons change. I can't ever seem to find the words to express just how difficult the year 2020 was. My sweet bride was so courageous in battling cancer. She fought hard with tremendous faith. She was truly a warrior. I am well aware that she was the one who was really going through it. That being said, I was fighting my own battle that consisted of never getting any sleep, 24-hour care, hardly eating, I hate the word keto, anxiety and panic attacks, watching my bride suffer greatly, extreme fear, raising kids alone while being a caregiver, hiding my fears from my kids, hiding my fears from my wife, heavy depression, loneliness, sadness, mental exhaustion, physical exhaustion, spiritual exhaustion, hopelessness, helplessness, desperation, weakness, PTSD, intense and overwhelming grief and devastation. This all scratches the surface. It's just too hard to express what it was like. On top of all of this was a pandemic in one of the worst states to go through it in. Life as I knew it was completely over. What a dark and horrible season for all involved. I hated my life. I have amazing friends and family that loved me and supported me through it. No matter how much people supported me, and it was a lot, I was still alone most of the time. I don't just mean physically alone. I also mean things like decisions and thoughts, fears, anxieties, and depression. I never wanted to burden anyone with what I was feeling. Their lives were still normal, and I felt guilt in sharing the darkness I felt. Seasons change. Now, just shy of 3 years later, I'm incredibly happy. Mm. You can miss someone intensely, but still move forward.
Yes.
Some people may think that because I am happy that I don't miss Lacey anymore. Some people may think that I am over her because I have found great love again. That is not and never will be the case. Mm-hmm. I have accepted my reality, but still love her. I think about her and miss her every single day. Healthy people move forward in life and take their memories with them. What kind of father would I be if I quit on life? What kind of Christian would I be if I stopped loving the world? I have heard things like, I'm glad you found someone, and we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
I'm glad you found someone, but I could never date again if my spouse died. I said the same thing, but that is easy to say when your spouse is alive. When you actually go through it, at first it's absolutely devastating. You go through grief that you can't comprehend unless you've lived it. Your best friend, your co-parent, your confidant, your everything, your world is gone. Your life is gone. You are all alone. The silence is extremely loud. Day and night you live this way. Everyone around you, their life goes on. What feels like a short time for them is an eternity for you. You now sleep alone, eat alone, watch TV alone, raise kids alone, make decisions alone, and have nobody to bounce ideas off of or share your life with. Nobody cares the way your spouse did. The inside jokes are gone. The comfort, security, and love is missing, and the plans are over. Some people will judge seemingly everything you do. Those people are just wired that way. Shake it off and find your own happiness. You are just looking to find some kind of normalcy and joy again. There's nothing wrong with that, and your true friends will want that for you. I'm so thankful to the friends and family who have been so happy for and supportive of me. You are beautiful and kind-hearted people. When you go through difficult seasons, you become so overwhelmed with gratitude to find joy again. You feel so thankful to find normalcy and happiness. The smallest things become so meaningful. Simple conversations with your new person feel like such a treasure. Mm. I'm so thankful for the beautiful woman in my life that loves me and my kids. She is truly wonderful. And then I just have to give her this shout out. Tina, you are an incredible woman who loves really well. You make me feel so special. I know you understand all of this that I wrote very deeply. Mm. I hate what we had to endure to get here, but I'm so thankful for you. Thank you for being the reason that I'm happy. Thank you for restoring joy to my heart and soul. Thank you for choosing me and putting your trust in me for your own happiness. Thank you for sharing your love with me. You are a true treasure and a rare gem. I love you very much. Seasons change indeed. So I wanted to read all of that. Sorry, I know that was super long.
No, it's
but I was writing that when I wrote that, I wanted to share something nice about Tina and how happy I was in life. But I want people to understand how you could get to this point again.
Yeah.
And because we've all talked about that, that like people are going to assume that because you're so happy with Joel, it means you don't love Luke anymore.
Right.
Like, I wanted to address that for the people that didn't know. Yeah. And so I hope that helps somebody. That's why I wanted to share it.
No, that's really beautiful. You are a very gifted writer. Like, you really are. You have a way of just conveying all that. So I was going to ask you what inspired that, but you explained that you want to say something nice about Tina, but needed to say all of that.
Yeah, and for her sake, I feel like I wanted her people to hear that too, and just know that she hasn't forgotten about John at all, exactly. That she still cries about him. She still loves him so much, but this wasn't her choice. You know, she didn't choose this. None of us chose this. So that was my inspiration. Is that I don't want anybody to judge her for being in love again. I don't want anybody to judge me for being in love again, or you, or anybody for that matter that's listening. It's not fair, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not fair to be upset at somebody or judging them. So anyways, that was my inspiration for writing all that. That huge 7-minute reading.
No,
I don't know how long it took, but oh gosh, my foot's asleep.
It's really beautiful, and I think it just shows, like, it's just people need reminded that you can love again and still love your late spouse. Like, it doesn't cancel each other out like people think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I still really love and care about Luke, even though I'm married again. Like, there's still moments. I have moments, like, I had a moment at the wedding. I didn't even tell Joel. I was talking to Joel and Stacy, and a song came on, and it was like a song like, you know that big Hawaiian guy, Oz is.
Oh, yeah.
It was like his famous song, and it was like
Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Is that
it? Like, yes, it was. And that's what, like, Luke loved that song. And then I had a slideshow like made to that, and I was like, all of a sudden, transported. I wasn't even in their conversation anymore. Back in this moment, feeling a little bit of sadness and missing Luke, even though I'm happily married, having a great time at a wedding with my husband and best friend. Like, I still have those moments. It's not like that doesn't ever happen again.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's things. I feel like there was something else recently too that I was like, oh, I know. We borrowed, Joel and I wanted to go paddleboarding, but his son had his truck. And so we borrowed Hayden's truck, which was Luke's truck. And I don't think I've ever, I think maybe one other time, but I don't really remember it. Joel drove me like a long time ago, but it was just like, all of a sudden I'm like, I am in Luke's truck with Joel driving. Like, it just felt weird all of a sudden. And I'm looking through, we actually have all of his old CDs, like from the 90s when you would burn them, or 2000s, and it has his writing on them. And so I'm like looking through these CDs with Luke's writing, with Joel driving in the truck, and I just had a moment. And so I told that to Joel, just kind of feels weird right now, like, that I'm with you in Luke's truck.
I mean, I could see that for sure. Yeah. I mean, I sold Lacey's car to one of my friends, and it was really weird seeing it at church. I mean, I was thankful. Oh, yeah. I was able to help him out by giving him a good deal. He was able to help me out by buying the car. But it was like weird seeing it driving around town. Like, that was Lacey's car. It was very noticeable. Like, I had certain things added to the car, like aesthetics that, like, you know, it really stood out against other Subaru Imprezas or whatever. I had like the roof racks and all these other things. So anyways, yeah, it is. It can be weird. It can be really weird, because you're like, oh, there's Lacey. Oh wait.
Yeah.
My friend Tamara actually, she didn't know that I sold them that car. And so my friend's wife, Stephanie, called Tamara about something, and she said, oh, I'll just drop it off. I'll be over there in a minute. So Stephanie came pulling up in Tamara's driveway in Lacey's car.
Oh,
and
weird.
Tamara was like, oh my God. Oh, and she's all, for like a split second, I thought Lacey was at my house. And she's like, I just started crying. And yeah. And so, that stuff can be weird. Sorry.
No,
I was just, that reminded me. It can be weird.
Yes. So I just looked up the definition of guilt. Guilt is an emotional discomfort you feel when you believe that you were responsible for something that offended or hurt someone else. Guilt can be legitimate. You may have made a mistake and you regret your words or action causing you to feel guilty. But I would say in the case of people dying, it's usually nothing you could have done. Like nothing you could have done to change the, you know, how things happened. God says that our days are numbered. He knows exactly. So there's nothing we could have magically done to stop it.
That's what I always reference too. And so how about you? What were some things, more things you felt guilt about?
I mean, those ones that I mentioned, definitely. Right. The first time like that I talked to a guy, it was like Facebook dating app or something, and didn't even talk, like just texting. I remember, like, I feel like I'm cheating. I remember that, feeling guilty over that. But again, that's not true. Like, I fulfilled my vows. He was gone. Just really some of those things. I can't think of, like, any more big things right now.
Right, right.
But it was just, yeah, like, that I didn't kiss him goodbye and just those other things that I, like, could I have stopped his death? Could I have done anything differently? I wish I would spend more time with him. But, you know, it just was, like, releasing those things and realizing that there's nothing I could have
done. I'm curious if you felt this. I remember feeling this, and I don't know if it would be applicable, but I felt guilt that it was her and not me, because I felt like she was much better suited to be a single mom than I was to be a single dad. Not necessarily, but like for the kids, for the kids' sake, I felt like, this is weird, and I don't mean this in any, like, pity party kind of way or anything like that, but just that, like, she comes from a lot bigger family than I do. There's more people. I don't mean this in any, like, you know, pity way, but, like, it's just the reality. She comes from a much bigger family. There are a lot more people who grieved her loss than would mine, if that makes sense. And I don't mean that in any, I don't mean that in any way to like feel sorry for myself. I just, that's the reality. She has cousins and uncles and aunts and grandparents that are still, and, you know, nephews and nieces and all that, you know, they're all my family too, through marriage. Then they are my family. You know, I definitely consider them my family, but, you know, Lacey's their blood and they grew up with it. She grew up with it. You know what I mean? And so I remember feeling like, gosh, like it should have been me. Like, and she lived a much better life than I did. It would have made sense with my past that I got cancer. To me, I mean, I wouldn't have liked it, of course, but like, it didn't make sense. She was always so health conscious. I mean, she loved sugar, but she was always so health conscious. She was always out for hikes, walking, like she was a beast. She was a powerhouse. She was, you know, charge huge still hills with a double stroller and two dogs and a baby on her back or whatever, you know, like she was very active. And so I don't know. Anyways, so I just wondered, did you have anything like that where that he had it and you didn't or something?
Honestly, no.
Uh-huh.
Maybe because he was sick our whole marriage. And
that's right.
So I was the one doing, I mean, he did everything he could, but I'm the one who did most of the taking care of the kids and all that stuff. And so I didn't have that. But if I would have known him healthy, probably. But that's all I knew. 16 and a half out of 17 years, he was sick.
Yeah, so that's so crazy.
It's a different situation.
Sure.
So I don't know what he would have been like when he's healthy. And what, you know, I know things he wanted to do, and he did as much as he could with, like, coming to baseball games and plays and all the stuff when he could. But I didn't actually really, think that because I was the one who did everything, which makes me feel a little bit guilty.
No, it makes sense. We have different roles, you know, you are the mother, you know? So of course it is different. And like you said, he was sick most of your marriage. So, that makes sense. I was just curious. I was curious if that would like, you know, kind of remind you of anything you felt like some weird guilt. So to me, that's one of the weird, all the other guilts I felt were like, I think normal. That one was kind of a weird one. It was just like, why her? Like, why not me? And don't get me wrong. Like, I love life. I don't want to, but you know, that's what a husband's supposed to do. I would have absolutely been willing to take her place in a heartbeat. of course, I don't want to be sick and dying of cancer, but to, if I could, instead of seeing her go through it, like me go through it, I would choose that in a heartbeat. And I think any man that loves his wife would, I mean, that's what laying down your life for your wife is, right?
Yeah.
And so it's, I guess that might be something that comes along with it too, is that like as men, we're the protectors. And so to, and I don't mean women can't protect themselves. I'm not saying anything, but you know what I mean? Generally speaking, like if there's a noise in the house, like go check it out, honey. You know, she's going to be sending the man downstairs. And I know there's a lot of women that can do that, but I'm just saying, generally speaking, that's kind of how it is. And and so anyways, that's, it makes sense, you know? Yeah.
I did feel guilty when I sold a house because I remember him saying, like knowing he was dying, I remember him saying, this is going to be a good forever house for you and the kids. And I was like, uh-huh. Even I already knew I was going to move, but I wasn't going to tell him that. And like, he was like, even though, so it was like, it was our starter house, like little 1400 square feet, three bedrooms. And the plan was always to move out, but because of sickness and all the things, we never could afford it. And, but I knew that it, when he died, I wanted to move closer to my family, which is only like 20 minutes away, but I wanted to be more out in the country where everybody was. And that's what I did. I moved like less than 2 miles from my entire family. And I'm so glad I did. But I remember when I was signing the papers and leaving for the last time, I felt guilty. But how I came to peace with it was like, we have this big, beautiful house more in the country because of Luke's smart choices that he lived in his parents' basement until he was 25, saving up money for the down payment on that house. And because of his smartness with, you know, we had 17 years of equity, we were able to afford a nice house. And I tell the kids that all the time, we have this nice house because of your dad. Because of his smart choices and saving money, and he didn't pay money on rent. He lived with his parents so that he could afford to do this down payment that I couldn't have done. And so that's kind of how I got through that, is like, no, it doesn't matter. In that state, he was just thinking that we just live there forever, whatever. But, you know, we're the hard work he did lives on in this house. But that definitely was something that I felt guilt about, because he had assumed we were going to just stay living there. But I knew that I wanted to leave, and especially because he died in the house, I wanted to leave.
Yep. And I had that too. That.
Yeah.
Yep. I wouldn't say I had guilt about it. I was actually, I was very thankful that I was able to, like you said, that I was able to, you know, that I was in a position to make a choice like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, it seemed like no matter what I did, I just couldn't get away from it. You know, it was just, it felt like this thing that was just the shadow, this cloud, like that was just over my whole existence in that city. And California is expensive, and I just wanted to move my kids to another state and all these other things. But, so kind of like what you're saying, like, I didn't feel guilt about that. I did feel some guilt about, you know, I didn't want to move my kids away from their grandparents and things like that. But at the same time, like, I had to ultimately do what I thought was best for them. And that was a hard decision to make, you know.
Yeah.
But I did feel like the Lord was telling me, yes, do it, do it, do it, do it. But so the point of what we're talking about is not tying guilt to your grief. So I would recommend you feel grief, and, like, you separate grief from guilt. Don't let the two things
separated. I just had to do it.
Hey, don't pay no mind. You're under 18. You won't be doing any time.
I'm gotta keep
hey, come out and play.
Okay, we haven't had like a duet song in a while, so. There we go. Okay, back to keep them separate. I just had to.
Yeah.
Like, it was so good of words.
I mean, it's like a lady's fashion, you know? Like a spreading disease.
What? Is that part of the song?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, these are weird words. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Anyway,
I was about to sing again. But yeah, going back to it.
Okay.
You got to keep them separated. That was a good one. I didn't even pick up on it. So that really, like, I was like, yeah, that's good. So you, when you're feeling grief, that is a heavy and intense enough feeling all by itself.
True.
Try to separate guilt along from that, if that makes sense, you know. Try to feel them separately. Don't.
Keep them separated. You know, it's just
I felt like head. I saw you that you were about to do it, but so I just feel like that's really important for people to think about, because if you start attaching guilt to your grief, that's going to stick with you. You have to understand those are two separate things. Grief is real.
Yeah.
Guilt is created.
Oh, that's good.
You're making up guilt in your head. You know, I mean, obviously there's situations, right? There's situations where somebody might actually feel guilty if, like, say the last time you talked to them, it was some huge fight that you guys got into or whatever. Right. Like, of course, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about fabricated guilt.
Yeah.
If you're, you know, whatever timeline you decide and you start dating again.
Yeah.
When I started dating Tina, it was really hard for her at first. And I even told her, I said, hey, like, I'll just be whatever you want me to be. I'll be your friend. Like, I'll be whatever you want to be. Please don't feel, I understand. Please don't feel any need to rush anything. Like, I'm right here. I will be a really, really good friend to you if that's all you want me to be. Like, no problem. And because she had a hard time with it. It was really hard for her. It was a struggle for her to start even considering having feelings for somebody else. She felt it, but she felt guilty about it. Mm. And almost, you know, like wasn't sure if she wanted to feel it because she just felt so much love and loyalty to her husband. And of course, right? And so that's all. I just got, and what do you think about that? I think that that's a good, you know, approach is that grief is real.
Yeah.
And guilt is fabricated.
That's good. I
so
like
don't
it.
Tie them together, because then every time you feel grief, you're going to feel guilt. Mm-hmm. So don't link
or
those.
You can, like, instead of, like, not tying them, you can just make one disappear. Like, try to release the guilt. So it's not even part of your life. I guess you could separate them and release. Like.
Yeah, yeah.
The motions for those of you not watching on YouTube. Or did you know, side note, we are on Spotify video. So. There.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So that's why now when I upload it, it goes like you see a video and it does. So it does video and then audio everywhere else. But if you're a Spotify listener, you can see our faces right now. Just wanted you to know that. Okay.
Side Magic.
Note. Side note. But my point was separate and then try to release guilt. There it is.
Yeah. Yep. That's really good.
You know, here's another little side note. Like you could even, well, it's not side note because it goes with this. Write the things that you're feeling guilty on a piece of paper and burn it. Like, I know it sounds like dumb. If you have a burn ban going on, maybe just rip it. There's a lot of burn bans in the summer. But I'm just saying, like, do something to get rid of it. It will help.
I forgot about burn bans.
Oh, yeah. You're like, what?
Because I'm in Tennessee now, and it rains, like, I think 160 days out of the year.
Oh, that might be more than Washington or about the same.
I don't know. Well, so for us, it's like summer storms, which is weird. I been here a year and a half. When I think of summer, I think of beach, sunshine, you know, and there's obviously a lot of that. But like here, there's like intense thunderstorms and it'll just start pouring rain in the middle of the summer. And it's because of the humidity.
Oh,
but, you know, I'm like, you could tell I'm new here because I'm the one that's always like, you know, peering out my, I'm like, it's raining, you know, like, and I was like, yeah, I'm like, no, it's like raining really hard. And they're like, I'm like, oh, I'm from Southern California. This happens like 3 to 5 times a year. And it's not like this, you know, no, but California's had some crazy rain last couple seasons. But what was I talking about?
I don't know.
Burn bands. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks. Cause I forgot about that.
Oh, burn
it was like,
the
oh yeah, we're not
paper.
Allowed to have, yeah. Burn the guilt paper. There you go.
Yes.
Way to get back on track.
Yes, that's where we're at. I think we're good. Anything else to say on this subject?
Nope. Just don't do it to yourself. Burn it.
Burn it.
You know? Don't and just just like really think about it. Like what do you have to feel guilty for? If let's say for example that you do want to start dating again. Other people might make you feel guilty, but you yourself, why do you need to feel guilt about it? It's okay if you do.
And it's okay if you don't.
But like if there's just no reason to, there's no reason to, there's nothing wrong. And I want everybody to hear this. There is nothing wrong with you trying to find some kind of happiness again, some kind of normalcy, some kind of joy restored to your life. We only have a limited amount of time on this earth. Mm-hmm. Like, when you're ready, and if that's what you want, like, pursue your own happiness. Pursue it, and, you know, don't let anybody keep you from trying to find happiness.
True. It's true.
Mic drop.
Boom. Hey, do you want to wrap it up in prayer?
Yes. All right. Yes. Lord, thank you so much for the constant that you are in our lives. Lord, I pray for you to allow us to remove guilt and to recognize that it's not coming from you and that we're making it up ourselves. And just allow us to feel grief all on its own and just let that be an independent feeling. You're so good to us. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be with all of those listening that are going through just such a hard time right now. We know there's a lot of them. This is one of the most difficult things that somebody can go through in life, one of the most highest stress situations statistically that somebody can go through. Let them feel that you're right there with them and they can just talk to you. And I just pray for everybody listening, Lord, that you would bless them with peace and joy in their lives and you would complete a work of restoration in one way, shape, or form, and everybody that's listening. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, a couple things. If you like this episode, I'm not even going to do Bing. I'm just going
to You have to do Bing.
Well, first, let me say this. It's even more important that you subscribe, okay? Click the little subscribe button so then every time we drop a new episode, go straight to your phone. There's no thinking about it. It's just there. And head on over to YouTube if you want and subscribe there because then you can see us, which is really fun. Or if you're on Spotify, you can see us. But if you do like it, you can give us a little bing, 5 stars, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you listen. As you guys can see, we've been doing a lot of guests. So if you'd like to be a guest, please reach out either on Facebook at Widowed Too Soon or widowedtoosoon@widowgoals.org. You know, all the places, YouTube, you could just make a comment and say, I'd like to be a guest and we'll be talking. So there's lots of different ways to do that. We are looking for unique stories because all of our stories are different and can help someone who may have lost their spouse in a similar way. So if you would like to share, please let us know. If you've been touched by this ministry, we are a part of Widow Goals nonprofit, and we provide not only these podcasts and social media support, but we do scholarships for grief recovery, as well as local and someday hopefully national events. So there's a link below if you'd like to give to a nonprofit. So thanks again for listening, and we look forward to seeing you next time. Bye.
God bless.